I would like to start, actually, our discussion, our interview with the panel discussion, actually. Mm-hmm. It was just taking place about the changes of the photography in the time of the era of technological advance. It was more or less, I'm paraphrasing the title. So how did, like, digital photography change the medium in terms of art production? How was the art photography actually, if I'm focusing on that part, changed by digital photography?
Yes. Well, I think the first phase of the impact of digital on art photography was really played out in the production art, the post-production. If you think that contemporary art photography tends not to use the most up-to-the-minute technology. In fact, at times has very consciously gone back to almost historical technologies. For example, the way that photographers like Stephen Shaw started using a 10x8 camera in the early 1970s. That was a very conscious act of going back to a camera that wasn't professionally used or commercially used as a default technology. And similarly, I think in the 1990s and the early 2000s, there was still a desire to use Hasselblad cameras and film. But then, as actually Trish was explaining her process, this idea mm-hmm. that you scan the negative or the color film, and then you had this the light jet print, and that seemed to be an incredibly long period, actually, that contemporary art photography wasn't I don't think meaningfully in discussion with either the social impact of digital image making in our daily lives or in really exploring the potential aesthetics artists could create with fully digital technologies. So the hybridization of analog and digital meant that you saw this sort of almost like this simulation of a classic late 20th century C-type print using color film, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's only been in the last maybe 3 years that you've seen contemporary art photographers making a commitment to digital capture, for example. I mean, there are a few people who have, but I mean, as like the, you know, it's the SLR digital cameras, which cost around, I don't know, £10,000, £15,000. And a photographer who's a contemporary art photographer will do the maths and work out that what it is now costing them in film over a 3 year period is a saving if they have a digital camera where they really appreciate the mm-hmm. the nature of the capture. It feels like good enough quality, or it's clarity, or whatever. So, anyway, so I think it's been a very gradual impact, and it started with post-production rather than a critical conversation about the social implications of digital. Where you notice, I think, the profound social shift mm-hmm. in relation to art is actually in the classroom. Whereas, you know, 10 years ago, if I gave a lecture on postmodernism and I talked about Cindy Sherman, it would take 45 minutes for the whole group to understand the concept. Now, it takes 30 seconds because they are postmodernists. I mean, they're like, what's the fuss about? What's the radical gesture there, really? Because it's all about performance and exhibitionism and me, myself as other things. Do you know what I mean? I think mm-hmm. that's mm-hmm. that's only now really going to impact on the critical discourses of photography as art.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, when you mentioned Cindy Sherman just had the exhibition opening in London with her new series, when she started to use digital photography probably 2 years ago, something like that. So what do you think about her shift? I was expecting it before, because she was not really highly aestheticized photographer, but the transformation was kind of slow.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it is a logical step, and mm-hmm. you would say, God, she could have done that 5 years ago or 6 years ago. So I think it makes total sense within her oeuvre to embrace the aesthetics of digital and the social dynamics of digital. And I think it's really intelligent. Of course, it doesn't have the same explosive, you know, impact as what she did in the late 1970s and how it started a ball rolling in, I suppose, the early 1990s. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it has the same cultural impact, but it totally makes sense within her.
It's somehow consistent with her aesthetics.
Yeah,
completely. She just got out of the frame, actually.
Yeah.
It seems that with digital photography, that contemporary art in general started using photography more as a presentation tool. Because it's easier to use.
Yes.
What do you think about that? Why? Because it seems that photography came into the context of contemporary art for real, like in the last 10 or 20 years.
Yes.
Maybe also because of the digital photography.
I don't know if digital photography really contributed significantly to this confident realization of photography as contemporary art, which I guess started around 1992 when you began to see international touring shows of people like Nan Goldin or Nobuyoshi Araki. So I'd say that it was actually about going international and understanding, you know, photography is often a regional discourse, isn't it? Because it's small collections of people. And in the early 1990s, the contemporary art world's international structure, its resources like creating and moving around and the administration of contemporary art and the museum structure supporting ambitious contemporary art moving around the world got applied to photography.
It seems that photography needed really a long time from its invention to becoming part of the art. So from like from Alfred Stieglitz, who tried to penetrate into the gallery, and he did. Photography became like the part of contemporary art, yet, like you said, maybe in the early 90s. But for instance, the other medium, as video, became part of the contemporary art right away. Why do you think is this gap? Why photography was not considered as art so for such a long time, actually?
Well, I think actually it's not as developmental as that, and I try not to see it as a almost like a battle that's now been won by photography, because you know the very beginnings of photography, it was just a creative medium, and it very quickly became an industry. So, you know, in those first few years, it showed all of its possibilities, and one of which was independent artistic practice. And that beginnings, you know, was gentlemen, amateurs like Fox Talbot, you know, the history we like to consider as the beginning of photography. So it wasn't that it started off as this undervalued, underappreciated phenomena that then had to fight its way into contemporary art. I mean, contemporary art didn't exist until avant-garde practice, you know. I mean, avant-garde is different
from
contemporary.
Or into art in general, it's a bad word, contemporary art, definitely.
And also, you know, institutionally, contemporary art is a period of time that began in 1965, technically for most big institutions. So you could say contemporary doesn't mean now, it means a late 20th century period. So I think photography at certain moments, including the late 19th, early 20th century, when camera work and Stieglitz and Steichen were around, was one of them those moments where it was very high on the agenda for a group of almost photographic activists to demand a place at the art table. But sometimes that's not the most important thing in photography. There's a really useful analogy that is written in an essay by the British academic Julian Stalabras, who works at the Courtauld, and in the early 1990s he wrote an essay called 60 Billion Sunsets. And it was, you know, it was written in the early 90s, so it's this beginning of the digital shift in of social photography. Like the idea of 60 billion sunsets, the place that you would look for 60 billion sunsets is on the internet, and why would it be that so many people take the same picture? But he draws a wheel and he puts amateur, professional, snapper and artist. So I think that's a really useful mental picture to have, that sometimes the artist is at the top of the cycle, and we've been through a period where the artist definition of photographer is at the top of the cycle. It doesn't mean that the snapper and the professional and, you know, the amateur don't exist, but we look to contemporary art photography for the most prominent definition, or the most active critical area of photography. The issue around digital right now in the 21st century is actually that just the pure empirical mass of amateur and snapper, I think, means that that's actually at the top of the tree. And so contemporary art photography is in this less kind of prominent or less profiled position. You know, it means something very, very specific. I mean, today's conversation, you could literally say contemporary art photography is the only place which thinks the photographic print is this sort of primary material form. Its identity is embodied in that print. And that's, I mean, that is the way it is, and that's really interesting, but that's in relation to the fact that these billions of photographs of sunsets get made, and that's not the issue, whether it's a print or not. So I think it makes it I think what's distinct about right now, and it is in relation to digital photography, is contemporary art photography. I mean, it's funny to talk about it in the context of an art fair, which is going to be really desperate to hold on to the idea that the battle to be fought is legitimizing photography as a contemporary art form, because it obviously has a vested financial interest in that. But I think I would be suspicious that actually the real debate is, what does contemporary art do, whether it makes money or not, in relation to this new phenomena, which is this democratic, multi production, dematerialized photography.
So one of the things that are particular for photography or the photographers as an artist is that they can combine their activities. So a lot of photographers are also fashion photographers, they're also commercial photographers or photojournalists, and they can switch these roles. So I think you wrote a book about Guy Bourdin. Who is like, and it's always an interesting analogy with like Bourdin and Helmut Newton. They were both fashion photographers, but they functioned, or they are now functioning, in the contemporary art world. So, and Guy Bourdin, as I heard, he didn't want to have an exhibitions while he was alive.
He, or books, but it wasn't that he didn't want to have them, but what he didn't want to do is just do what obviously Helmut Newton was very happy to do, which is make coffee table books of pictures that were really made for the magazine context, or to just blow up to a gallery size pictures that were meant to be double pages in a magazine. So when he was offered an exhibition, he said, he would say things like, I want to do an exhibition in the windows of Colette in Paris, and basically we have 100 naked fashion models in high heels, and the window explodes and they burst out and they run through the street. Well, you know, nobody in 1976 was really going to support him to do that. He had a massive respect for what art in a avant-garde sense was, and he was under no illusions that his artistry was for a very specific context, which was the magazine. Which, frankly, if you were a photographer in the 1970s in Paris, there was one place that you wanted to work, which was French Vogue. And so actually he was working in the perfect context for his work. And he didn't look to the art world to legitimize what he was doing.